This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Which is an insane stat, by the way. The fact that this game has never come down to the division in week 18. And, like, for as many incredible, incredible moments that this rivalry has brought us, and we'll talk about that before we end the show, the immaculate extension with AB, the Troy Polamalu pick six in the AFC Championship game, the list goes on and on. This is the biggest game in this rivalry's history since that AFC Championship game in early 2009.
You can feel it already. Like, yes. I feel like the intensity is building as we go throughout the week and leading up to Sunday night. Rodgers being 4-1 in his career versus Baltimore, playing for his career potentially. If the Steelers lose, maybe the Steelers finally move on from Mike Tomlin. If Baltimore loses, maybe Baltimore moves on from John Harbaugh. This has so much on the line, so many implications, and it's a perfect reason to have a blackout at Acrisure Stadium.
See, everybody, you're going to keep hammering that home, aren't you?
I'm going to try my best. I also had the alternative outlook on that.
What about a yellow out?
Yeah, because the thing is everybody already wears black to the stadiums primarily, yeah. is what I was thinking, what my one friend brought up to me. So maybe we need to call for a yellow out instead.
Well, there's a yellow out at every pit home game because there's so many empty seats.
Whatever we can do to help the Steelers win.
We'll do our best. DK Metcalf doing what he did might be the microcosm for how this season has ended up. Again, I think, and I don't want to go back and harp on this fan in Detroit because he's a loser and doesn't deserve more airtime, not just from on our station, but any station across the country. DK Metcalf keeping his hands in his pockets and tuning that guy out. And if that happened, I don't necessarily think that Sunday matters. Instead, it's the polar opposite of Sunday not mattering. It's the biggest game in this rivalry's history since it was for a chance to go to the Super Bowl back in early 2009. I think with an active DK Metcalf against the Browns, the Steelers win. No doubt in my mind that they win. That defense did everything that it needed to on Sunday in Cleveland. They held the Browns to 13 points. They held a rookie quarterback at home to 13 points and turned him over twice. When the offense only scores 6, that's an issue. And the offense only scored 6 because the best wide receiver on the team was serving one half of a 2-game suspension. The second half of that 2-game suspension is obviously Sunday. And this is why this is so frustrating to me. You go back and look at before we get into that, let me try to set the stage here as well as I can. Both of these defenses, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, are very, very similar when it comes to yards per game. When you break the numbers down, the Steelers defense allows 245 passing yards per game. The Ravens pass defense is worse at 250, but they're right next to each other in total pass defense goes, just like they're right next to each other in run defense as well. The Ravens run defense is 11th in the league. The Steelers run defense is 12th in the league, 107 yards per game allowed for the Ravens, 111 and change for the Steelers. I think the game will eventually come down to which run defense prevails. But the Steelers could have been able to combat, you know, potentially a big game from Derrick Henry with the passing offense, because the Ravens pass defense is bad. The last time the Steelers played the Ravens, Aaron Rodgers threw for 284 yards. And I understand that the weather might dictate what you can do a little bit as far as airing the ball out goes. But DK Metcalf, in that game against the Ravens, 27-22 a few weeks ago, had 7 receptions for 148 yards. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, was his best game in a Steelers uniform this season. It was. Season high in receptions, season high in yards. I don't have the confidence in the Steelers pass offense to be able to replicate a similar performance against the Ravens this time around without DK Metcalf. And that's not an earth-shattering take by any means. But it's a frustrating one. Especially when you look at the other side, and you might say, well, Jack, the Steelers' pass defense isn't anything to write home about either. No, it's not. But if you go back to that matchup, Lamar Jackson facing that Steelers' pass defense, 19 for 35, 219 yards, a touchdown and an interception. And you look at Lamar Jackson's 9 career games against the Steelers. He has thrown for more than 250 yards against Pittsburgh once. One time, and it was for 253 yards back in 2021. And in all but his first 2 games against Pittsburgh, neither one of which were starts in 2018, in every single start against the Steelers Lamar Jackson has had, he's thrown at least 1 interception. 10 career interceptions against the Steelers. So I understand that the Steelers' pass defense has not been that great at times. And statistically in the league, it's 4th worst. But a healthy Lamar Jackson struggled against that pass defense at home a couple weeks ago and has struggled against the Steelers throwing the ball his entire career. So you combine that with Aaron Rodgers, 284 yards, DK Metcalf, 7 receptions for 148 yards against a pass defense identical to the Steelers and passing yards allowed per game. I look at that and say, you know what? Derrick Henry might go off, but that's a pretty darn good way to combat potentially the Ravens feasting on the ground. That's obviously can't happen on Sunday night because DK Metcalf will be, I don't even think he's allowed to be there, right? He's suspended, so he won't be in the building.
Won't be there at all. That's something Cam Hayward talked about too, is he doesn't understand why players, when they're suspended, aren't at least allowed to be in the locker room during the practice week.
It's part of it. I get it. But regardless, he won't play. And it doesn't take a football genius to know that when he doesn't play, it ain't good. All you had to do was try and watch Aaron Rodgers throw the football to the likes of Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Scotty Miller last week. fourth and one to Scotty Miller, a guy that probably wouldn't dress on over half of the NFL rosters game in and game out. Let's chuck one up on fourth and one to that guy. But at the end of the day, if we're going to, you know, come to the defense in Aaron Rodgers in that regard a little bit, who else is he supposed to throw the ball to? I understand that that's a moment in which you shouldn't throw the football. Even with DK Metcalf and prime Antonio Brown, you probably shouldn't throw the ball on fourth and one. Especially with how well the Steelers have been running the football the last several weeks. But who else are you supposed to throw it to in weighty moments? .412-928-9370. What's on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? And I would assume it starts with a win on Sunday at home over the Baltimore Ravens. .412-928-9370. One of the ways that you could substitute to the best of your ability for the absence of DK Metcalf, and we've been clamoring for this all year. More Pat Freiermuth, please and thank you. That's a guy that has proven that he can play pretty darn good tight end in the National Football League, number one. And number two, you pay like a top 10 tight end in football. And on paper, you would think that Pat Freiermuth will get more action this week because, unfortunately, Darnell Washington is not available. He won't be available for however long the Steelers' season lasts with a broken arm. Three receptions for 63 yards and two big ones that put the Steelers on the doorstep against the Browns last week. But for whatever reason, that guy has just been omitted and cast it aside by Arthur Smith in this offense, with the exception of a monster game against the Bengals. Six receptions, 100 yards, two touchdowns, but everybody feasted in that game. And I think a question that seriously needs to be asked by Pat Freiermuth in the offseason, especially if he is absent in this game. And I understand that DK Metcalf played the last time they played the Ravens, and Darnell Washington was a part of that game plan as well. But he only had two receptions for 9 yards at the beginning of the month in Baltimore. And if it's a similar situation, even if it's like, as I look at his game log here, like four receptions for 27 yards against the Colts. He did score in that game, but like if it's one of those stat lines for Pat Freiermuth, four receptions for 31 yards against the Seahawks in week two, if it's one of those, Pat Freiermuth has to ask the question of what's my role? And if I'm not going to be a part of this offense, what am I doing here? And that sucks because I'm a big time Pat Freiermuth guy. He is, in addition to what I think, a really good football player, a really good dude, and somebody that, you know, championship football teams would enjoy having that presence in their locker room. And if you can't find a spot for him, especially after you pay him and extend him for what, $11, $12 million a year, it's a shame. So let's hope that the Steelers can find a way to conceive some concepts for that guy. Maybe Jonnu Smith as well. Calvin Austin, if he returns to the lineup, that it's not as big of a glaring absence without DK Metcalf and then what we saw on Sunday. But again, I'm not optimistic. 412-928-9370. Will in Monaca is now on the fan. Will, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
Good. You know what? The thing that, you know, I listen to all these shows every single day. And the one thing is, in the beginning of the year, and it happened not picking up a second wide receiver, and it's looming even bigger now. But that was always been like talked about from
the
beginning.
Well, and Will, not to cut you off, because I want to ask you this question, because I think it's not night and day, but more of a glaring difference than without DK Metcalf in 2025 than when the Steelers were without George Pickens last year. I don't know what it is about the offense. It's the same system. It's the same coordinator. But in one game against a bad Browns team, the absence of DK Metcalf is more significant than the absence of Pickens last year, in my mind.
Yeah, it just seems like DK gets a lot more attention for whatever reason that was. And maybe it's just the addition of having Aaron Rodgers. When you don't have a capable quarterback to throw to Pickens, exactly, people weren't exactly afraid of the quarterbacks that we had. But now it's, you have a team there that really could do some damage. So DK's getting a lot more attention. But the whole thing just goes back to the end of the year and not getting a second wide receiver. You lose DK to injury, why couldn't they even consider that?
Right. No, I
at the beginning of the year.
I don't know. I don't get it. It's one of those things. And two, you know, you look at, and thanks for the call, man. Happy New Year. You look at what the Browns did defensively. Cover one, cover zero, like 70.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
80% of the time. That defensive scheme isn't something that the Steelers see against the Browns if DK Metcalf is in the lineup. Because, and again, and Will was kind of saying, he warrants a little bit more attention because of his skill set. Yeah. Cover one, cover zero against DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is winning those battles 70, 80, 90% of the time. So you'll get safety help over the top. You'll get double teams. And that obviously allows the offense to operate with a little bit more flexibility because the defensive coverage isn't going to be as aggressive. And two, an aggressive defensive scheme with a defense, and despite the Browns being really bad this year, their defense is really good. Their defense is the second best in football. So yeah, straight up man-on-man, Myles Garrett, cover one, cover zero, press coverage, all that stuff. Without DK Metcalf, it's no wonder the Steelers only scored 6 points. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And it's 11:21. It's time to check out Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. Get a jump start on the golf season once this snow melts. 412-928-9370. Where is your confidence level with the Steelers heading into Sunday? And what's on the Pittsburgh Sports wish list in 2026? 412-928-9370. Bo's in the car, and now Bo's on the fan. Bo, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for taking my call. I think where we stand with all the questions about why we didn't do this or that revolves around Tomlin and his coaching staff's inability to evaluate talent. I think Tomlin truly believed that this was a historical defense and did not add a second wide receiver because they didn't have the money and thought if Metcalf would go out, they could still win games 13-10.
Well, those are the games, obviously, that Mike Tomlin loves to win in. And as far as not having the money, as it stands right now, and it doesn't really matter because it's in week 18 of the regular season, but the Steelers right this minute, Bo, have $17 million in cap space, which is the ninth most in the NFL right this minute. And at the beginning of the year, they had more than that. So there was room to operate as far as adding a second receiver goes. Financially, I don't think that was an issue because they had the money to do it. Now, if you look at where they were at the end of last year, $12 million in cap. At the end of 23, it was only $2 million in cap. So they've had money to spend. I just think, and you go back to Tomlin and the way that they assess things, like you say, I just think that they thought that they were well off enough on the offensive side of the ball, and money didn't really have anything to do with that.
Well, they kept adding all these players that, like the Smith pick, he knew Arthur's offense and performed in it, but he was also in his 20s. We get all these Peppers is in his 30s. They evaluate other people's first round picks in.
Yeah, but you talk about Jonnu Smith, Bo. He had like 800 yards and 8 touchdowns and was a Pro Bowler in Miami just last season. I don't think it's that Jonnu Smith can't do it anymore physically. I just think that Jonnu Smith, and that's a legitimate gripe, and I would question the fact that he's back on the team in 2026. But I think Jonnu Smith's lack of production and giant drop off compared to his numbers last year with the Dolphins is just because that tight end room is too crowded.
Yeah, I agree. It's just frustrating. I mean, I know we all love our Steelers and we're all hopeful, but man, I just feel like we've been spinning wheels, and it's the, you know, Tomlin, I think, would do an amazing job on the Wildwood Boardwalk selling T-shirts with his sayings going forward.
Or on TV, Bo. Thanks for the call, man. Happy New Year to you. It's just funny how if DK Metcalf, and I think it's this simple, and if you agree or disagree, let me know. I think it's as simple as if DK Metcalf plays against the Browns, they win. Even if they win 14-13, they win the game, they're in the playoffs, this game doesn't matter. And we are not talking about any of this. Not at all. But here we are. And if the Steelers lose on Sunday night, and I think if they do lose on Sunday night to the Ravens, it'll be in similar fashion to the way they lost to the Browns. The offense can't get it going. Derrick Henry feasts, and they lose a low-scoring one-possession game. And we'll be telling ourselves the same exact thing. If DK Metcalf did not react the way he reacted to that fan in Detroit, this would not be the way the Steelers season ended. Brian in New Brighton. What's up, Brian? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think for me, it's just the continued theme over the last couple of years. It's the coaching staff having the inability to adjust. Because, yeah, DK was out, but then by the end of the first half, you're missing, we forget Calvin Austin. I think out of like, all the, like they have 1,200 out of their 2,000 yards this year are between those two guys. So you're missing Calvin Austin and DK. Then
right.
Then Washington gets hurt. So you're missing that target. But then you would think just rationally that, you know, your next best wide receiver, which if you ask me is Blackwell, he would get more touches or balls out of the backfield. And they relegated him to chipping Myles Garrett 3/4 of the time. And it's when you play the style of play, you have to win in the margins. And when you don't take advantage of some of these matchups, like, and you don't adjust on the fly, you're going to lose games in that manner.
And that's what seems so weird about this Browns game. And Brian, thanks for the call. Is like you go back and you look at some of those mic'd up moments with Aaron Rodgers and saying to Kenneth Gainwell, I forget what it was beforehand, but then it's like motion all the way out and run a go. And then that was the Kenneth Gainwell circus catch and touchdown. And then they go to the sideline and Rodgers said, draw it up in the dirt. And you think of the adjustments that they made on the fly in that game.
Ran from empty set, Jack, more than any team in the NFL the last 2 weeks. Like 33% of their pass plays were. So I think it worked for them against Detroit, and they tried to do it against Cleveland, but they would have been better off just letting the route concepts complete themselves and go through, because there was a few times just on that fourth and one play alone where Adam Thielen broke open over the middle on a concept on a drag route underneath. So I think that Rodgers may have been panicking for two reasons. He didn't have DK Metcalf. Then he lost Darnell Washington, which was a bigger deal.
Yep.
And then you're playing a Browns pass defense, which is nearly number one in the NFL. Plus Myles Garrett's on the other side.
And with all that too, like Jaylen Warren has been running like one of the best running backs in the NFL the last couple of weeks. Those two touchdowns against Detroit, breakaway touchdown runs, something that Najee Harris was incapable of doing. He only carries the ball 12 times for 64 yards against the Browns. 14 for 143, and that's 10 yards a carry. That's, you know, video game-like numbers, but 12 for 64 is still over 5 yards a clip. Keep running that guy until it really doesn't work, especially when you don't have your number one wide receiver. And they didn't do that in moments in which they should have. Cough, cough, throwing it to Scotty Miller on fourth and one. One more call before we go to break. Brian in Valencia. Now he's on the fan. Brian, happy new year to you, good sir.
Happy new year, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to chime in. I agree with the whole DK thing. However, I feel like any fan that's been watching the Steelers for, say, 10 years and they got their heart in it, like myself, how can you possibly make the play calls that either Tomlin or Arthur Smith did in this game offensively? The defense showed up again.
You're talking about the Browns game?
Correct. Yes, yeah. The Browns game.
I agree.
I don't understand the fourth and one, the go ball to Scotty Miller on fourth and one. Half of the catches that Moose makes are first downs almost statistically. Why are we not getting Moose more involved? Aaron Rodgers moved the team down the field twice in that game in a two-minute tight style offense. Why couldn't we do that a couple more times? It's extremely frustrating to watch this happen. And, yeah, the DK thing, sure. But how do you call those plays and expect to win against a three-win team with a seventh-round rookie quarterback? It's embarrassing.
Definitely embarrassing. And, Brian, thanks for the call. And it's one of those things, going back to Pat before we go to break here, Pat Freiermuth, I don't think it's that Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust him, right? I think a lot of the reason why Roman Wilson has been a healthy scratch is because that Aaron Rodgers is not a fan of what Roman Wilson brings to the table. But that's not the case with Pat Freiermuth. We've seen, and we saw it in that Browns game, Rodgers fire off to Freiermuth in weighty moments. And it happened in the Bengals game. He's caught two touchdowns and put them on the doorstep. A lot of Pat Freiermuth's inability to produce this year is because he's just not in the game in certain situations. His snap count is drastically, drastically low this season. And I really don't understand why. Maybe I'm not a football savant or a football guru and a big time ball knower. But I don't get the whole omission of Pat Freiermuth in 2025. Not really at all. Especially if you go back, and again, you just look at his stats and you go back to year number two in the league. Year number two in the league with a really bad Mitch Trubisky and a rookie quarterback that ended up being really bad. in Kenny Pickett. 700 yards. He only caught 2 touchdowns that year, but 98 targets, 700 yards. It's what he's capable of. But here we are. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. What is on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? I want to hear from you. And a happy new year to you. I'm Jack Hillgrove filling in for Pomp and Joe. The Penguins look to continue the bounce back tonight at home with the Red Wings of Detroit. Detroit at the top of the Atlantic Division. Stuart Skinner coming off of his best game in net as a Penguin. And the Pens making a couple of trades as well with divisional opponents, which I think is weird, right? I mean, I think it happens a little bit more often in hockey because you've got 7-8 teams a division, but I can count on one hand at least trades that I remember that maybe the Pirates have made with the Cubs and the Reds. And the biggest one is the Key Brian Hayes trade to Cincinnati, which I thought was very peculiar that they traded him to a divisional opponent.
I really couldn't believe the Joe Flacco trade from the Browns to the Bengals.
And Mike Tomlin was very critical about that, and rightfully so, because old Cowboy Joe Flacco caught them off guard in that shootout on, was that a Monday night?
Thursday night.
It was
football.
A Thursday night football game. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, yeah, so the Penguins making a couple of trades. They trade for Igor Chinnikov from the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then just yesterday, Kyle Dubas flipping Philip Tomasino for Yegor Zamula, defenseman for the Flyers. So maybe a little extra weird that those two teams were doing business with one another since they are bitter rivals. But again, you know, just kind of flipping a forward that has had similar production at the NHL level for a defenseman. We got a chance to chat with Tyler Kennedy about the Penguins in the last hour. If you missed that, you can use the Odyssey app to rewind and check out our chat with TK. But right now we're talking about the Steelers at 412-928-9370. Your confidence level for this game on Sunday at home against the Ravens. And what might be on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? 412-928-9370. Let's go to Dave, who's calling from Uniontown. Hello there, Dave. Happy New Year to you, good sir.
Hey, Farah. Happy New Year to you and everybody.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, don't laugh at me.
I'll mute my mic so you won't be able to hear it if I do.
Okay. Sunday's game with the Ravens. I just wish that Pittsburgh wouldn't be running 65-year-old offensive plays.
Okay. That's a chuckle in, I see where you're coming from. I'm not laughing at you, so keep going.
Well, no, you didn't laugh with me, but, oh, come on. You know, Pittsburgh's better than that, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you can't do much when you're leading receiver and the only threat you have when it comes to catching footballs as a wide receiver is serving a suspension. So there's only so much you can do. And that's what, and Dave, I was talking about in the last segment. It's so frustrating because the Steelers torched the Ravens through the air with DK Metcalf at the beginning of the month. Aaron Rodgers threw for 280 yards. And the Ravens' pass defense isn't very good. So if there was a way for the Steelers to combat a potential Derrick Henry feasting, which I think very well may happen on Sunday night, they'd be able to get him through the air a little bit like they did in December. But guess what? DK Metcalf can't play. So that's, again, hopefully Calvin Austin's healthy and might be able to spell some of that. I just don't have much confidence in it.
Well, just hope for the best. At least the 3 college teams I wanted to win yesterday did. So everything's okay.
There you go, Dave. Well, happy new year to you. Be healthy, be safe, all that good stuff, and enjoy the day. Logan, were you guys a pork and sauerkraut family on New Year's?
We are. That's what I'm approaching eating later, and I've always had to be talked into it. I'm not a huge fan. I actually hate it, to be honest with you.
Really?
But I hear that it's good luck if you have it, so I think that I have to have it.
Yeah, that's the whole, and I'm pretty sure it's like a Pennsylvania Dutch tradition. So it's localized to our region. It's one of those meals, and don't jump down my throat when I say this, because I think Thanksgiving food is miles better than pork and sauerkraut. But, you know, you're not firing up a and doing all the prep work for a roast turkey or a deep fried turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes in like June. That's a once a year type of thing. And the food's better than pork and sauerkraut on New Year's. Don't get me wrong, but I like it enough to eat it once a year. Like, again, if I come home when I was younger, if I came home and my mom's like in April, oh yeah, we got pork and sauerkraut in the crock pot, I'm going to be pissed. Because you know what I mean? It's fine once a year. Were you guys a New Year's pretzel people with like the plastic baby that they put in the thing?
No, I've never heard of that.
So, and that's like another thing. Like, it's like this giant, they call it a pretzel, but it's like Oakmont Bakery does them. Shout out to Oakmont Bakery.
Everything's better at Oakmont Bakery.
And we could shout them out because they spent money during the US Open. We did shows from there. Anyway, it's just like this giant thing with icing on it. It's basically like a giant cake, and everybody takes a slice. And if you have like the plastic, and I think that's like a Creole, like Baton Rouge, like Louisiana tradition. I could be wrong there, but if you find the baby in the thing, it's supposed to bring you good luck for the new year.
Have you heard of the tradition where if you find the pickle ornament on the Christmas tree, you get a candy cane? See, we're teaching each other. Holiday
Is that a tradition that the Arblasters?
It is the Arblaster household tradition. I don't know if other families do it or not, but we have a pickle ornament, and
is it because it like blends in with the color of the tree? Okay.
Yeah, and it is very hard to find, especially our tree. We have like 2,000 ornaments on it, so you don't even know we have an artificial tree in our living room because there's so many ornaments.
Huh.
But yeah, if I had to pick between the sauerkraut and what you were describing there, I would probably go with option number two. I hate sauerkraut. It's terrible.
See, I like sour. I'll get like a bratwurst or one of those things with some sauerkraut and maybe some spicy mustard on like a nice crusty roll.
It's got to be an acquired taste.
Yeah. See, I'm a fan. I'm not trying to eat sauerkraut, you know, a couple times a month. But like, if it's available to put on a hot dog,
well, isn't it literally cabbage that is like fermented and completely, it's like decaying, basically. I don't know if that's the proper term for it in food terms.
It could be. I mean, I'm not eating spoonfuls of the stuff, but I'll throw some on a piece of pork or sausage or whatever on New Year's, and I'll throw one on a hot dog every now and again. 412-928-9370. This game on Sunday is going to come down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Down to which run defense figures it out. And again, we talked about this in the last segment. Like, you go back and look at how these run defenses, how these defenses compare. The pass defenses by the numbers are identical. And the run defenses, now granted, Baltimore's is a tad better than Pittsburgh's if we're going by yards per game. I think it's like 9 or 10 yards difference. But they are back-to-back in comparison to the entire National Football League. I apologize, not 9 yards, it's 4 yards. Baltimore averages 107 yards allowed per game. The Steelers, 111. And that number potentially skewed, and we've talked about this before, because the Steelers' run defense this season with Derek Harmon versus without is like best in the league versus worst in the league. Nonetheless, though, the Ravens had the 11th best run defense in football. The Steelers had the 12th. I think Derrick Henry is a much better running back than Jaylen Warren, but the combination of Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell running the football has worked for the Steelers, especially in the last several weeks. So again, while I think the Ravens have the advantage and a pretty sizable advantage as far as running backs go in this game, the Steelers are putting up a puncher's chance with Warren / Gainwell against Derrick Henry. And if somehow the Steelers are able to keep up, okay. But if not, and it gets to a situation where the Ravens jump out, run it down the Steelers' throats on the first couple drives of the game, it's a two-possession lead at the end of the first quarter, which it potentially can, because the Steelers have gone like, what, 64, 65 straight games without scoring more than 7 points in the first quarter of football games. So there's a chance, based off of that metric, that the Steelers are in a hole at the end of one. And if they are, and they have to start throwing the football without DK Metcalf, yikes. 412-928-9370. What's on the Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? Let's go out to Frank. Happy New Year, Frank.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm fantastic, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The clear wish list is Kazuma Okamoto. He's number one.
Oh, what, wow, okay. I mean, if we're going to paint it with a broad brush, so does Mike Tomlin to speak, my Pittsburgh sports wish list item for the Pirates, and I dumb this down to like the lowest bar possible, Frank, just have this team, for the love of God, be playing meaningful baseball in the month of August.
Well, what about now? What about the offseason?
Okamoto would be nice. There were reports out there from a couple of accounts that suggested that it was the Pirates were very much involved, and the Pirates might even be the front runners. He doesn't get posted, I don't think, until tomorrow or Sunday, the 2nd or the 4th. I forget which day. But a lot of like the more reputable baseball people suggest that once he's officially posted, that's when you'll figure out when and where that guy signs. I saw the Pirates. I saw the Angels. And for whatever reason, you know, a lot of the Japanese players like to pick the West Coast, especially LA. So I think the Pirates have a little bit of a disadvantage in that regard, especially because Ohtani went to the Angels and is now with the Dodgers. And there's a whole host of Japanese talent playing in LA. Right. If they don't get him, you know, I think there's a couple of other avenues in which they can go, but I'm satisfied with the offseason so far, especially because eventually, you know, Connor Griffin's probably going to be a member of the big league club in 2026.
Yeah, we hope so. But you're satisfied with just O'Hearn and Lau then?
Compared to just Spencer Horwitz a year ago? Yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't think they're done, and I think we'll get maybe at least one more move. The other thing too, Frank, they need a back-end starter. And it'll be interesting to see
Justin
if they...
Verlander, baby.
Oh, geez, Louise, that'd be something. But that could be a move potentially that they make in spring training, kind of like they did with Andrew Heaney last year. And that worked for a little bit, I guess, a couple months. Regardless, I don't think they're done. But even if they are, it's a hell of a lot more of an improvement than last year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Moon Township and Crescent Township, we want the Okamoto Dragon bad.
That'd be awesome.
We want him.
I would be half inclined to buy season tickets if that's the case, Frank. Thanks for the call and Happy New Year. I think Logan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's posted
It is January 4th.
It is. So it is Sunday.
Correct.
So that might be another plot line for the radio shows on Sunday, in addition to obviously the big one, which is Steelers-Ravens.
I think that would punch the Pirates' ticket to be a legitimate postseason contender if they get Okamoto. And another guy being Suarez at third base. I mean, that's a guy that puts up 40-plus homers a year. You're talking about a team that had Key Brian Hayes hitting maybe five home runs per 500 at-bats. That's a big, big step up. That's more home runs from Suarez alone in his season last year than the Pirates had combined in the infield. So I would be fine with either guy. I think Suarez is more proven, though, than Okamoto, obviously, being that Suarez has hit against major league velocity, 98-plus mile-per-hour fastballs. I think that weighs into it, too.
The other guy that's out there is Yoan Moncada, who only hit 12 home runs last year, but again, I think is a little bit more of an improvement offensively than Jared Triolo. But I think their wish list, it's Okamoto and Suarez are at the top. 412-928-9370. Joe in Mount Lebanon's on the fan. Joe, Happy New Year.
Hello, Jack. Happy New Year to you, too. You know, I knew the Steelers were in for a rough day in Cleveland, Jack. It's cloudy, it's cold, it's rainy, and Mike Tomlin's wearing sunglasses. He probably couldn't see the dumpster fire of an offense that was going on. And Jack, if this thing turns south on Sunday night, it's going to turn ugly. I mean, on national television, you're going to hear boo birds, fire Tomlin, boo renegade. It's going to turn ugly, Jack. And as far as my wish list, okay, I'm looking at a new Pitt basketball coach. I mean, Jeff Capel seemed like a very nice guy. He's been here 8 years. He's been to the tournament one time.
Okay? Yep, and the other thing too, Joe, is that the coaching staff has stayed the same. And I mean, like, what there's seems like there's no willingness to change. I mean, those assistants, Milan Brown, Tim O'Toole, and Jason Capel have been there since the beginning. And like you said, they made the tournament one time. And I did my Pittsburgh sports wish list on the 26th when I hosted on this show and filled in at the day after Christmas. A new basketball coach was on my wish list as well.
And Ellen Green should take a look at the Pat Narduzzi. I mean, at Auburn, Ellen Green fired a guy that was 68-35. So Pat Narduzzi, he's been here for 10 years. He's had two good years.
I just think, Joe, at this point, right, Cade Bell is still the offensive coordinator, and Cade Bell, if he doesn't go anywhere, the quarterback doesn't go anywhere. So if you would make a change now, you could potentially, you know, screw up whatever potential Mason Heinchel has in a Pitt uniform, and thanks for the call. I just don't think that right now is the time to really address the Pat Narduzzi issue, especially with what they have going for them at quarterback, number one. And number two, I mean, if we're going to compare the two coaches, Pat Narduzzi had a bad year. They went 3-9, and he fired his entire offensive coaching staff. Fired/they left. I think Tyquan Underwood officially, who was the wide receivers coach, left for the NFL. But everybody else was dismissed. And they brought in an entirely different offensive coaching staff, Cade Bell to headline it. So they've adjusted. And he's adjusted when the back was against the wall. Jeff Capel's had the same coaching staff for 8 years. So that's why, and I think it's a very valid comparison between the two. Jim and Jefferson's on the fan. Jim, Happy New Year to you. I know the last time I hosted, Jim, you tried to get in here and we didn't get you on the horn. So I'm glad I got to get to you now, good sir.
Well, it's always good to hear you, Jack, and wish your family a Happy New Year for me. And
Will do.
You know, I guess I'd like to talk a little bit about Pitt because there's was some disappointments, and I don't know. It seemed like on the bowl game that some of these guys kind of cashed it in a little bit, in my opinion. There was a couple of them I was watching, and I thought, boy, I don't know if their heart is in it. And sure enough, they declared for the transfer portal right after. But anyway, that's not the reason I called. You know, I'm a bit confused. Up in New England right now, you have a wide receiver and his buddy that are accused of some pretty serious crimes. And they're still playing. Yet we had a guy who purposely came down to taunt DK Metcalf. Now, I'm not saying that Metcalf should have participated in that, but But to get a two-game suspension, which affects a lot of things for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just don't think it's right. And I, you know, I understand it during the appeal that it was an ex-Cleveland Browns coach that headed the appeal for DK Metcalf when he had that. But how do the two of those equate with Diggs versus Metcalf? I don't get it.
Well, and that's the thing too. Yeah. So, and again, these criminal charges, I guess, have to be, you know, proven for there to be something.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot. And then this is from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. When a player is formally charged with a felony or a crime of violence, meaning he's accused of having physical force, blah, 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 the formal charges may be in the form of an indictment or a grand jury. You know, it's one of those things where it's got to be brought to court. And the commissioner can place Stephon Diggs on, like, the exempt list and paid leave if deemed
right.
necessary. I'm not smart enough on the topic to give you a straight answer, but I see where you're coming from.
It doesn't equate. And the other thing is, if indeed, I think part of the reason that this guy lawyered up in Detroit, you know, there's a good case for stalking here because he had an altercation with DK
yep.
Metcalf in Seattle. So he comes up after he does what he does there, with his wig on and all, and he makes an announcement, which was caught on a cell phone video, saying that was my goal.
Yeah.
Now, if I was DK and if I were the Steelers, I would seriously consider putting a suit against that bird for stalking. Of course, it's not going to matter in terms of the record, but it seems to me that legally, they got something on that guy, and this has really screwed up the Steelers' season. I mean, Yeah, that was a big part. I agree with you that not having DK Metcalf, although I can't quite understand why Rodgers did what he did, you know, in terms of the selection of the receivers that he was going to throw to that day. But, you know, it just mystifies me. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a few pictures of that last pass. If that wasn't defensive pass interference, I don't know what it is.
And again, Jim, I think the bigger, and I'm going to let you go because I've got one more waiting. Happy New Year to you, good sir. I think the bigger gripe with that final play is how open Kenneth Gainwell was and the tunnel vision that Rodgers had going to MVS almost immediately, number one. And number two, pass interference or not, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was casted aside by several NFL teams since he last played and contributed at a decent level with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. What are we doing in that situation? Throwing the ball to that guy. I understand there's trust there. I understand that there's a significant amount of trust in MVS, in Aaron Rodgers. I don't love the play call. I don't love who it was targeted for. And a better player, and you're arguably your best offensive player all season long, your most consistent offensive producer, and Kenneth Gainwell was wide open for a potential walk-in touchdown. That's the bigger gripe than oh, there's PI. Why are we throwing the ball to him in the first place? Matt in the car is on the fan. Matt, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jack. You've been talking about wish list stuff and
yeah.
retards, which is very needed. I was curious, and maybe you know this because, and I'm kind of connected to the game professionally in a couple ways, with some relationships and whatnot. Why is Trevor Bauer so radioactive that someone like the Pirates doesn't try to bring him in on a vet minimum and make him the fifth guy? Like, I mean, he's got the stuff still. He's, you know, I don't understand it. Like, but it's across, like, this guy hasn't gotten a professional, like a MLB opportunity. And now, especially with all that stuff that's come out, that young lady who, you know, fouled all that stuff against him, she got in trouble for perjury or something. Like, all that stuff that's come out, that
right.
coming out about
and
it.
And I think the big concern with Trevor Bauer is it's been, I mean, 4 years since he pitched in the major leagues. And I understand that he played, and I had this argument with a couple of callers, Skeens' rookie year, when he was pitching in Mexico. I mean, the competition he's facing in Mexico is not even anywhere close to what he would be facing at the major league level.
Oh, valid. That's valid, Jack. However, when you're the Pirates and they clearly, like, spending money is not something that they love to do, and they've taken flyers and chances on guys that we've all shook our head, like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you take a chance on a guy who was proven to be a major leaguer? Proven that there's going to be older pitchers than him in the MLB if he comes in. Older guys with less stuff who will still be in the MLB. So I understand the competition he's been playing against isn't setting the world on fire, but he's still a proven quantity. And again, when you can get him at the vet minimum, and what chance are you taking in that case?
No,
you're not really. Yeah,
no, I understand that. I wouldn't do it because I think it's also a distraction, Matt, and thanks for the call. But on the flip side of that argument, they brought in a guy like Domingo Germán, and he had proven criminal history. So it's not like the Pirates are you know, that shy away from anybody along those lines. But on the flip side of things too, like, again, Trevor Bauer hasn't pitched in the major league since 2021. He was pitching against bad competition in Mexico in 2024 when his ERA was below 3. And then last year in Japan in the JPCL, the Japan Central League, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Logan, and I don't know if you can, and if not, I'm not going to blame you. That's not like the big Japanese league that the Okamotos and the Otanis come from. And he had a 4.41 ERA last year for the Yokohama Bay Stars. Oh my goodness. Guess who managed the Yokohama Bay Stars last year, Logan?
Who is that?
No, wrong person. I apologize. I read this quickly. I thought it was Daisuke Matsuzaka. Remember him for the Red Sox back in the day, the starting pitcher?
I don't. I'm too young, I think. I think you are. Remember.
It was somebody else named Daisuke, but I got excited. He was one of my favorites back in the wee days of watching baseball. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. What's on the Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? 412-928-9370. We'll get your phone calls, and we'll take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say yesterday about what potentially could be his final start in Pittsburgh. He's a free agent. They lose their out. Is this the last time we see Aaron Rodgers play in black and gold? We'll listen to what the Steelers starting quarterback had to say in his weekly meeting with the media yesterday. But first, we'll take a break, get to the top of the hour and all that good stuff. We're with you until 2 o'clock. Donnie Football in for the guys at 2, and he will take you until 6, and we're taking you up until Donnie at 2 o'clock. I'm Jack Hillgrove at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Talked about the back end start
on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.